Thank you very much for that good humble prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. I've chosen a very specifically because it's the new year, but it's a text that's found in the very close of the Bible as God inspired the writer in the book of Revelation to close out the final thoughts that he wanted to convey to God's children in his written word. And I want to take a particular thought from it, and it'll be good for us to take this thought and keep it as in the forefront of our minds as we travel throughout this new year and this new decade. That is on the fountain of life. Now, you know, we all know what a fountain is, and there's a water fountain just outside the doors of the church here. And what a water fountain is, you go out there and you press a button and up springs water and you drink water. Water is very critical and very important to sustaining the natural body. We could live a good long time without food, but without water we wouldn't live very long. It's a necessary element to sustain the natural life. And so we have a water fountain out there that you can go and get a drink of water when you get thirsty. Not only that, you keep water in the refrigerator to satisfy people's thirst. But a fountain is that that supplies something that's necessary for us to sustain life. That's what water is for. That's for the natural man. And what this fountain of life, or it could be called the fountain of living waters that I'm going to talk about this morning, is that sustains the spiritual man, the spiritual person that is within each and every one of God's children that have been born again of the Spirit of God. They have a fountain to go to. That fountain can be considered God's Word. God's Word is a fountain for the spiritual man to feed upon the things of God, that he might enjoy the things of God as he travels here in this life. Now I want to take my text here concerning this from the book of Revelation, the very last chapter, verse 22, and we want to take it from verse 17, and we want to read on through the end of this chapter and see some final thoughts that God has for the Church of Jesus Christ as he closes out his final inspired scriptures to the children of God. Now in verse 17 it says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now you know, you hear a lot about that, whosoever will. People will try to say that it's up to the sinner to save himself, and whosoever will do this or whosoever will do that can receive eternal salvation as a result of him reacting to that's in question. But here is a whosoever will, but it's not to the alien sinner that doesn't have life. It is to the man of God that God has quickened and given eternal life already. You say, well, how do you know that's who it's to? Well, let's just take a look at it. It says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come." Now, who is the Spirit? That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God that's within every single one of God's children. We all have the Spirit of God that's been placed there by the grace of God when He reached down and rescued us from our from where we were at in Adam's race, dead in trespasses and sin, and gave us life. The Spirit and the Bride. Well, what's the Bride? The Bride is the elect of God, the elect that God chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world began. The elect, all that God the Father chose and gave to the Son Jesus Christ before the world was. So the Scripture says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Now there's places in the Scripture that make a statement, and it says, let he that hath ears to hear, hear. So you have to have ears to hear the things of God. You can't hear them with the natural ear. Those Scriptures aren't speaking of the natural ear that every human being has. It's speaking of spiritual ears that the child of God and the child of God alone has. And it says, and let him that heareth say, come. And then it says, and let him that is athirst come. That's a person that thirsts after righteousness. That's a person that seeks after the things of God. That's a person whose spirit, the Spirit of God that's within him, causes him to want to serve and worship the Lord. So all these scriptures speak of those that are born again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And then he says, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So who is that whosoever will talking about? It's from those that God has given life and they have a will to follow the Lord. So that they don't all follow him as they should, but the theme of this text is whosoever will among God's children, whosoever will that's been born again, whosoever will that has the Spirit of God and is the Bride of Christ, whosoever will that heareth, let him that hath ears to hear hear, whosoever will that is athirst, that thirst after righteousness, let him come, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Then it goes on and says, the very last part of this scripture states some very important matters for us to consider as the church of Jesus Christ. He said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. In other words, what that is telling us, this is God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. It is, as Brother Ricky Harcrow expressed to us last Sunday, it is a perfect work. It is from God himself. It doesn't need changing. It doesn't need to be added unto. Well, you say, Brother Heron, who has added unto it? There's been a lots of religious organizations that have added unto things that this book don't give them authority for. One thing is they've added musical instruments to the church. What they have decided? They have decided, well, you know, if we're going to improve on what God has given us, we ought to have a musical instruments to keep us all on key and all on tune. But God hasn't authorized it. That's adding something that God did not authorize in His Scriptures. That's why when we meet together, we sing together and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Lord, not with the aid of musical instruments, because it's not authorized in the scripture. If we added it, we'd be adding to the prophecy of this book. We'd be adding to something that we think we would know better than God. God knows everything, and God knows what we need. And beside that, when we sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord, we're using the one thing that God gave us Himself, that is our natural voices, to sing and praise God with that. And whether it's on key or whether it's off key or whether it's totally off tune, God hears it and it honors and praises God. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for the beauty of the sound of your voice. He's looking for the beauty of a voice that He gave to you to praise Him for what Jesus has done for you. So don't add anything to this book. The other things that might be added was Sunday schools. There's no authority for Sunday school. Some old Baptist churches try to get away with that by calling them Bible studies. Well, it's just not authorized to have a separate part of the worship of God studying the Bible. Is there anything wrong with studying the Bible? No, we all have a responsibility as individual children of God to read and study God's Word and seek the truth of what it proclaims. We all have that individual responsibility, but there's nothing stated in the Scripture that we're to meet together as a group other than in the church, where a man called of God stands before you and preaches and declares the glorious riches of Christ and Him crucified. So that would be adding something to it. This scripture gives a very stern warning to adding anything. If any man shall add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And then it goes on and said, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. In other words, if this book states something, don't take it away. One example would be that of feet washing. When we have communion, this book has established that we should wash one another's feet, and we do it because Jesus gave us an example, and we should do as He has given us that example. Some churches have decided that's not necessary, so they take that part out of the scriptures. That's taking a part out of the scriptures. And the last words of God to His children, oh, don't do that, don't add to it, don't take away from it. So this thing that says it will take His part out of the book of life, does that mean God will take His name out of the book of life and He'll go to hell? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means He'll not enjoy the benefits of the eternal life that God has given to him while he lives here in this life. And so he'll not enjoy it as he would if he follows the instructions here in this part of the scriptures, not to add to the Word of God, not to take from the things that are written in the Word of God, but follow them as God has given us the testimony to follow. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And then the very last verse of the holy inspired scriptures in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I say amen to that. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us always and every day as we live and travel here in this world and serve Him as we travel along. Now I want to go back to our text in verse 17, and I particularly want to think of that, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, you know, when you think of the water of life, it reminds me of a time, and I'll turn over here and take a look at some of that. It reminds me of a time when Jesus had, in the book of John chapter 4, Jesus had been in Judea, and he was leaving Judea. He was going to Galilee. And for some reason, Jesus made this statement when he left going to Galilee, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, why did he need to go through Samaria? I suppose it was because of this little woman that he met at Jacob's well from Samaria, who came there to draw water. And Jesus went to Samaria, and he went to Jacob's well, and he sat down, and the lady came, this Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus asked her, he said, give me to drink. And she then questioned him, him being a Jew, why she being a Samaritan, why he being a Jew would ask a Samaritan, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans for a drink. And so Jesus went on to express to her about this fountain of living waters that we just read out of our text in the book of Revelations. It's a way to feed the spiritual man. And so Jesus asked her for a drink. She questioned him as to why he would ask her for a drink. And then Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now Jesus changed the subject here. He asked her, first of all, for water. Now there is water at the well of Jacob. I have been there myself. I've seen that well. I've seen water drawn up from that well. And I've even had a drink of water from that well myself. And so then Jesus tells her about this living water, and she questions him about what this living water is all about. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And what he's talking about, whosoever shall drink of the water from Jacob's well to satisfy the natural body, he'll get thirsty again. And I can assure you that's true. I drank water from Jacob's well, and I've been thirsty a many a time, because I have a need for water to sustain this natural body. And so I've thirsted again. But Jesus was telling her about living water. And he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Yes, even the spiritual man has a need for water, and that is spiritual water. That is water that comes to each and every one of us as we meet out to serve the Lord. And it's we have been so blessed lately to hear the different preachers that have come in and declared unto us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and caused us to feed our hungry souls, to feed that spiritual man with the things of God, and rejoice as a result in a Savior's love that saved us when we were unable to do anything to save ourselves, and saved us through the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, this lady at Samaria, she asked Jesus about that living water, that fountain of water by which he would indeed give to those who are his children, as they feed the spiritual man with the water of life. The bread of life, or as I said, the fountain of life, or the fountain of living waters. And so we want to take a look now at several scriptures that talk about this fountain of life, this fountain of living waters, and we'll find out what this fountain of life is all about. We'll go all the way back over into the book of Psalms, and we'll find a scripture here in the book of Psalms that tells us that this fountain of life, or this fountain of living waters, this fountain that feeds the spiritual man that's within every one of us, is indeed the Lord himself. We'll find in Psalms 37, it says 37, and we'll begin there at verse 5, and it says, "And it came or in 36, actually 36, beginning at verse 5. "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preserveth man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life." Now there it is. With the Lord is the fountain of life. With the Lord is the rivers of the pleasures of the Lord, the fountain of living waters. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness unto the upright in heart. Let not thy foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, and they are cast down, and shall be able to rise. So we have this fountain of life, this fountain of living waters, which is the Lord himself. And as we learn about the Lord, and we learn what he's done, and we see his wondrous and great works, we're fed. It feeds the spiritual man within us of the things that we need to learn and rejoice in from the Word of God, from the very fountain of life. Yes, the Lord himself is that fountain. Now turning over into the book of Proverbs, we'll find it says here that the law of the wise is the fountain of life. We'll begin there at verse 8 in Proverbs chapter 13. "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferreth, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. Whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed. We need to be lovers of the word of God. We need to understand this is God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. It came to us by God's inspiration. Why? For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Yeah, a fountain of life, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as we saw over there in the book of Psalms. It's the Lord himself. The law of the wise is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him, and refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accompanied is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Yes, the law of the wise is indeed the fountain of life. It is Jesus Christ, and following him and his instructions and his commandments as we travel here in this life. The law of the wise is indeed the fountain of life, the fountain of living water. There's another scripture right over in the next on the next chapter of this book of Proverbs that says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. A man that has a fear of the Lord is because he has the Lord within him. And that fear is not like the fear that we experience in the fear of something that's going to harm us, but that fear is like the fear of God because of who he is and what he's done for us, to fear him in that way. It says here in Proverbs chapter 14, beginning there at verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And then in verse 27, he says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. There's that fountain of life, that fountain of living waters. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy and rottenness is of the bones. Yes, the fear of the Lord is indeed that fountain of life, that fountain of living waters, that fountain that we come to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to learn more about God and more about Jesus as we travel along here in life, serving Him in that fountain of life that is indeed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Jeremiah, where we'll find a reference to that fountain of living waters. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, and it's chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah. And it says, beginning at verse 9 of chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah, "Whosoever will, let him plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." In other words, they've changed God's word. They've changed the doctrines of God's word. They changed that into things that don't profit them. He says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, of this. It is a horrible, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord God." And then in verse 13 he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." Now we don't want to do that. We don't want to forsake the fountain of living waters, which would be the Lord and what He's done. "They have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." He compares here those that have changed what God's word said into something that they think it should say, and by doing so, they've changed their doctrine into cisterns that won't hold water. That's what the world has done today. They've changed salvation by grace to salvation by works. The only thing about that is salvation by works is a cistern that won't hold water. You can't depend upon it. You can't count upon it, because it'll not be that'll convince you that salvation is yours. It's of the Lord. It's from Him and Him alone. So don't change the Word of God as these children of Israel did. Change the Word of God into cisterns that won't hold water, but hold to that which God hath said in His Word about how salvation cometh. It's from the Lord. It's not of yourself. It doesn't come to you as a result of your works, but that's what the world has done. The religious world has changed it so that salvation's based upon what you as an individual do, and that's cisterns that will not hold water. It'll not hold water up to what what God's Word has expressed. Now we'll want to turn over here to the back book of Zechariah, where we'll find a reference here to that bread of life fountain of life, that fountain of living waters in the day of David. It says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, it says here in this scripture concerning the word of the Lord, it says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Now in that day in which Jesus Christ was born there in Bethlehem, a fountain was opened in the house of David to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. What was that fountain? That was the fountain of life. That was the fountain, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it says, "And it came to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." The fountains open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. We'll find that declaration over in the New Testament when Jesus came there to be baptized there of John the Baptist. And what did John have to say about it? He said in that scripture, he says, when Jesus came there and John was baptizing there in the River Jordan, you remember how John saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Yes, that was that fountain that was opened unto David here in the book of Zechariah, a fountain to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Yes, it was indeed a fountain that took away sin, Jesus Christ himself. We'll also see in the book of Ephesians that fountain spoken of in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in whom, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yes, a fountain opened up in Jerusalem to the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. Yes, Jesus Christ, born there in Bethlehem of Judea to redeem all of God's children that God the Father had given to the Son in a covenant of grace before the world was, to redeem them from their sin and to take care of those things which God himself had provided for us through that fountain that was opened unto Jerusalem there in the house of David. Now we'll turn over here in closing out this morning on the fountain of God. It's spoken of also in the book of Revelation, and this is something John saw, and John saw this about that fountain. He saw that fountain and he saw the people of God, the elect children of God, all around that fountain and worshiping the Lord God. And he said about that fountain that they would be fed, God would wipe away the tears tears from their eyes, and that they would be fed from that fountain of God, that fountain of living waters, that fountain that feeds the hungry soul of the child of God as he travels along here in life. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, it says, beginning at verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Now John saw and he beheld a great multitude, an innumerable host, more than I can number, more than you can number. Is it more than can be numbered? No, God knows the exact number. God knows every last one of them. But it was a multitude of people that John saw here in the, that he expressed here in the book of Revelations. He saw them robed in white robes with palms in their hands. And then he says, and they were crying with a loud voice. What were they saying? They were saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Yes, salvation to the Lord. Salvation's from God. Salvation's a gift that came to you not because of what you did, but because God gave it to you because he loved you and chose you in a covenant of grace before the world was, and sent Jesus here to die on the cross to pay your sins. And here they were around the throne crying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And then it says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying again, Amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And then when John expressed all these words that those around the throne were expressing and praising God for salvation, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "Why are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Why will they not thirst? Why will they not hunger? Because they're feeding the righteousness of Christ, feeding on the righteousness of Christ that has paid their sin debt and cleared them before just and holy God forever, eternally speaking. And then he says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Yes, fountains of life, fountains of living waters that God himself has provided for us to worship and adore and praise his name for salvation that is of the Lord. Yes, the fountains of life. As we go back to our text, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will among the children of God, that's expressed in all those terms, whosoever will among them, let him take the water of life freely. And as we start this new year, this new decade, let us constantly and continually be taken of the water of life, the water, the fountain of life, as we follow along and serve Jesus here in this world. This fountain of life is with the Lord Himself. This fountain of life is the law of the wise. This fountain of life is for all those that fear the Lord. The Lord Himself is that fountain of living waters. As He told the woman at Samaria, He told her, I ask you for water to sustain the natural body, but the water that I shall give you shall be a well of a spring and well of water springing up into eternal and everlasting life. It was a fountain opened up in the house of David in the day of the birth of Jesus, when Jesus was born as the Redeemer to redeem all of God's children from their sin. And we saw at the end, John saw the children of God, all the elect, around the throne, praising God and honoring Him for salvation that's of the Lord and of the Lord alone. We as God's children have so much to be thankful for. We as the Primitive Baptists have so much to be thankful for. We've tried to do just exactly as the closing verses of the book of Revelation 2 has told us. We've not added anything to God's Word. We take it for what it is. What God's Word said, we believe it as is, and we follow it as is. We don't take anything away from it. We don't add anything to it. It is our holy, inspired, infallible instructions from God, the fountain of life that we feed our souls and our hungry spiritual souls upon, the things of God. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.